Time now for some more Weingarten Wonderment on the Midweek Drive.
Weingarten Wonderment. It's got to be a series, hasn't it, Arthur? Surely, you know, Weingarten Wonderment. Very much so. So here we are, page 138, waiting for the lights to change at 5th Avenue and 35th Street. Rabbi Avram Blotner felt naked, stripped of the tieless, starched white shirt whose buttoned collar was cutting into his neck, of the brown suit his wife had so carefully pressed early yesterday for the Friday night service, of the black raincoat his daughter had given him for a birthday present last month, and finally of the yarmulke hidden beneath his brown felt hat. He felt naked because he felt guilty. Just a sample of what I still maintain is the best unfilmed novel ever. Well, it's not a novel, it's an actual drama investigation and a true story written by, of course, your good self, entitled The Sky Is Falling, Arthur. I just was thinking about today.
My goodness. Not only am I impressed with your reading of it, but the pronunciation of yarmulke is classic.
Well, I like to feel that we can reach mensch levels here. It's all very, very important. You know? That's what we're looking for. You know, I'm sort of seeking that sort of routine in the whole system.
That's wonderful. Wonderful.
Introductions now for fine folk in the studio. I think, Tessa, you've spoken to Arthur before, of course.
I have, yes.
It's a legendary
Tessa. Yes, hello.
Tessa's actually now welcomed her sister into the programme, and the great news is she's now lasted at least 10 minutes longer than she did on her first show, where she was so poorly she had to leave. So Lois Snart is, she's already cracked her previous co-presentational record. So well done, Lois.
Hello.
Exactly. We also have Hannah Brown.
Hello.
Hello, Hannah. Hello.
And of course, Natasha Armstrong.
So, hi.
Yes, hello, Natasha. Hi.
So, Natasha, would you like to sort of bowl some questions at Arthur, such as what's the weather like in just outside San Diego land and so on? Or would you like to talk about the sky is falling? It's entirely up to yourself.
Well, I bet the weather is quite lovely in San Diego. Is it nice out there? Or
It is 83 degrees Fahrenheit, a blazing sun, blue skies, and we are going to experience a heat wave for the next 4 days, well into the 90s. So there you are.
You're very lucky. It's just taken the first kind of winter kind of cold spells just come here, so we're all now starting to really bundle up with scarves and gloves and coats. And
it's the British way, Arthur. It's what we do.
I know. Oh, listen, do my bones remember it?
But, you know, fundamentally, we like our jumpers, we like our jerseys, we like to use a northern turn, our Gansies.
Yes.
Which are there. You know,
yes. And where else can you get Cardies year-round?
Oh, exactly. Even in the height of May. Still, never mind.
Right.
Tessa and myself were actually at the London Film Festival last Sunday. And
good. How was it?
Oh, it was really, really, really good. We got to... I should probably do some name dropping.
Well, I just think it's factual reporting, actually, Tess. Just work with it.
No, we met a lovely, two lovely young, well, they've just done their masters.
Young filmmakers.
They've
got a short on Channel 4 this very weekend.
Oh, wonderful.
And
wonderful.
It was celebrating the good things, but I think it's fair to say that there was also concern that maybe the film industry, I don't know, was it losing its way? There was a discussion about, you know, what about young folk who actually wanted to make their way, make movies?
Yeah.
Or has it always been a case of get your star name, get your tentpole movie, and then the rest of it is history?
You know, I watch BBC here all the time, and so we get some film reports because of, I forget the fellow's name, he's just excellent, who does all the film wrap up and goes to the festivals and everything. And what I'm constantly amazed at is, you know, when I broke into the business, I had all sorts of help in that I had been a kid actor on radio, and so I knew people there. And my mother had been in vaudeville and was a radio singer. So I had a leg up in that way. And then it was a time when there were people, holdovers from vaudeville, music hall, and early silent movies who went into television. So I was mentored by people who had eons of experience. And when I listened to the fellow on BBC who's very sympathetic to young people, I'm always quick to think first that, oh, gee, I had a leg up and it's hard for these people. More and more, when I listen to him and watch him, you can buy for 90 quid a camcorder and make a film. And there are so many outlets now between the internet and festivals and all of that that I've changed my opinion completely. You may not get the mentoring. You may not get, you'd have to go to a film school or not, or just learn or have talent. But the exposure is far greater than I ever thought could be. So, you know, I was thinking one way that my era had ended it. But no, I really think anybody who with an intent and even with a modicum of talent can get a hearing.
Which is good news, you see.
It is.
The glasses.
Yes,
half
I think it's very good news. Yeah. Yeah, I really do. And I think that when I watch what happens in reports around the world where they hand out cameras to young students in third world countries or anywhere, the amount of creativity that's unleashed is fantastic.
Listen, when you see Natasha, Hannah, and Tessa let loose with cameras, it's amazing. It's just sort of phenomenal stuff. Have you had your first camera set? You must have had several camera sessions, Hannah. I mean, what in terms of your journalism program?
Oh, yes. I mean, last year we did a lot of camera work in TV and then came onto the news days. This year we've done some recapping, and our first like full news day will be next week. So... Mm-hmm. This time next week, me and Tessa may be dead on the ground. But it should be fun. I mean, I love using the cameras, so yeah.
Obviously,
yeah. Even if someone doesn't become a professional or they don't win a thing, it only can enhance your background in art and understanding. You know, it's just wonderful. It's marvelous.
And Lois, you're quite a practically oriented soul. I mean, you're looking more from the point of view of audio creativity and various other factors. In fact, you're about to put a pitch together for a radio program, so maybe Arthur could help with some thoughts about that.
Yeah,
ooh,
definitely.
What are you going to do? What is that?
We're actually creating a pitch for our tutors, and we're doing it on extreme sports.
Mm.
Yeah, so...
So
I
you mean
actually...
extreme sports, like for me now, is walking?
That would work. Yeah. I think
you mean going off rooftops with skateboards and things like that.
Well, we've actually done some research, and apparently rock climbing is actually an extreme sport, and I've actually now, as the outside presenter, I've now got to participate in some rock climbing.
Oh, are you actually going to do it? Yes.
Yeah, I've got to do it.
It's very brave of you.
as we know, Arthur, that's the reason her first name is Lois, as in Superman's girlfriend. It's very important.
Yes, right, exactly. Exactly. And rock climbing and I look down from the height of my chair, I get a nosebleed. So.
This is important stuff, exactly. Specifically, as important as this.
Hannah Brown, historic Harwick heroine and hyperbolic midweek drivette.
Are you sure it's not Harwich? Harwich heroine?
What did I say?
You said Harwick. I mean, the hyperbolic midweek drivette was right. Also, I love the deep breath you took before Hannah Brown. Like you're taking a big bite out of Hannah Brown. We're kicking all this in.
As you know, Arthur, we like to ensure that there's a balance there. Has somebody actually set the alarm clock going in the background, though? Is somebody actually mowing the lawn?
Yeah, no, there's the gardener here, and Annette just went out to silence him.
You see, you sort of have the whole sort of system put together. You play the Hannah Brown ident and jingle, and what do they actually do? The gardener gets out a lawnmower. It's sometimes, you know, really, you know, they're outrageous. Arthur, one of the things we're going to be talking about in a few moments with an agent called Kyle Fritz, who's actually based in LA, it's an LA-themed sort of program, obviously, is the etiquette of good representation. So from your own perspective, as a writer, as a producer, as a, you know, somebody who's working within that whole thing, what would you look for in terms of the key things you'd expect from an agent?
It's really interesting you're bringing that up, because my agent has long passed in the UK, especially.
He's looking down now, I'm sure, you know, and he's saying, now, Arthur. Yes.
But his name was Dennis Selinger, and he handled some of the biggest people from Roger Moore. And
Mork Mawise.
I mean, everybody.
Yes, indeed.
Everybody.
Do you know, I once sat in his office one time, Arthur, back in the day. But
did you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, well, he was the a love of a man. I mean, he was, we just adored each other. And every morning, my morning would start out with a phone call from Dennis at around 7:30 in the morning in London. And I'd get the jokes from around the world, especially Roger Moore, who always collected jokes. And so for a half an hour, I'd laugh myself sick.
So basically, you'd like an agent to be a comedian.
Yeah, right. But, you know, tell your fellow I'm looking for an agent. Have him call me if he's interested.
Okay.
I'm being serious, because I'm agentless at this moment, and I've got some projects going, and I need somebody to represent me. I'm out of touch in London, of course.
We'll do our best, Arthur. You know, that's all we can do.
Yeah.
We will continue to do that and work through that process. And it doesn't
matter. But a representation is, the proper representation is enormously important. And always has been.
Have you started playing music in the background there? It's like, guess what's happening in the Weingarten household? It's very strange. Maybe it's horrid. Arthur, I know you always are very fair-minded when it comes to musical choices and musical criticisms and so on. So if we actually play you a cover version of a Petula Clark classic by a certain young artist called Deanie Jane, would you be happy to cast your ear over this particular number?
Oh, yes, I'd like to hear that.
Okay. Yeah.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you got worries, all the noise and the hurry seem to help, I know. Downtown, just listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. Happy again. The lights are much brighter there.
Deanie Jane and Downtown. Arthur Weingarten, what did you think?
Well, I got to tell you something. She's an endangered species. She has a beautiful voice. She has, it's a terrific old-fashioned voice in that she's got a bass timbre there, and I just loved it. I thought it was terrific.
See,
is that a current?
Well,
it's
from the album Lollipops and Bobby Socks. And I have to reveal now, that is the sound of Tessa and Lois's mother.
No kidding. Well, terrific. Boy, are you lucky. Are you? My mother was a singer, and so I grew up my mother singing songs to me, and it's the fondest memory I have. You're very lucky to have a mother who's a singer, but she's really talented. I was very impressed. I loved that.
Thank you.
Which is part of our 2017 campaign to actually raise the profile, because astonishingly, Arthur, when an audition took place for the early days of that
X Factor,
she was turned down.
She was. Unbelievable. It was the very first one. Very, very first.
Tell her not to feel badly about that, because I'm about to tell you something that you may not know.
Okay.
I went to a high school in Brooklyn, which is quite famous for people who are in show business, called Erasmus Hall in Brooklyn. And for well over 150 years, it has provided people in show business with a marvelous education in the high school. One of the most famous people to be turned down to join the theatrical club was Barbara Streisand.
Really?
She auditioned for this woman whom I knew very well, Mildred Brown. She was the teacher who was in charge of the theatrical club, which I belonged to. And apparently Barbara auditioned, and she said, "No, I'm awfully sorry, darling. You just don't have it."
Oh.
That is shocking.
That is.
So there you are. Your mother's in wonderful company. Oh. But I really am very impressed. I thought she was wonderful. Maybe it's age and all of that, but I just am not impressed with the singers today. Well, I don't think they're as trained as they used to be.
In terms of backdrop, I must admit, I was driving down to London with Tessa, and we played various musical choices, and she said, I've got my mum's album here. And I thought, I'll just be polite and sort of say, all right, put the CD on. Okay, that's fine. But equally, I was sufficiently impressed to say, yeah, let's run with this. Let's go with that. So nice to know that we share the sort of acknowledgement of what quality singing is all about.
Really, just absolutely terrific. I'm going to look for that. I'd like to hear more.
We will process the whole thing accordingly. So there we are, Anna Snart. Also, Annie Snart, also known, of course, as Leanie Jane. Why Leanie Jane, out of interest?
Oh, right. So my mum has an auntie in Australia, and she always used to call her Leanie, and her middle name's Jane. So she put the two together, and there you go. Yeah.
Next week,
that's terrific.
We'll be introducing the singing families of Hannah Brown and Natasha Armstrong.
I'm not sure you want my dad's tangerine muscles.
Now I have to ask a question. Have either of you or both of you inherited her talent? Can you sing?
We do sing together. I like harmonizing, but I think Lois has the powerful vocal cords. But we do. We all get together and sing, don't we, at home? Yeah. So.
Would you like to break into an a cappella piece today? I mean, feel free to do it.
Perhaps not.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll have fun.
We can try.
It just goes to the musicality, the work of the whole thing. It echoes in every sense of the word. Celebrates that. So, Arthur, obviously shifting from the delights of The Sky Is Falling, which we sort of just teased ahead to from that point, your views on the whole system, brings us neatly around to Natasha to put those last two questions to you. So off you go, Natasha.
Have you had a fairly interesting telephonic link with us today?
I certainly have, especially that music interlude. Yeah, that really just lovely.
That's excellent. And will you be joining us again sometime soon?
I certainly hope so.
Well, it'll be actually Thanksgiving, I think, because, of course, we head into a whole range of things with November now, and that obviously will be with us next week. And just think, Arthur, when you next join us, new president. Didn't say who it's going to be, but new president of the USA.
Tonight here is the final of three debates, if you can call haranguing and bad language and bad manners, even worse manners, a debate. But it certainly is nothing to laugh at, even though we laugh.
As the Chinese might say, may we live in interesting times.
Exactly, and that's what this is, in extremis. Yes, absolutely. But
And we are. Lots of times. We've called America from San Diego, we've called America from Los Angeles, and we're back with Los Angeles now to actually welcome for his debut to the Midweek Drive a gentleman who's responsible in his management team for a celebrity talent agency that represents actors, musicians, sports athletes, and more. Can only be the legend that is Kyle Fritz with Kyle Fritz Management. Good morning, Kyle. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Delighted to touch base with you. Patty Yesitake was fantastic last week. I think we all agree, ladies. Patty did sensationally well. Yes, nods from Natasha, nods from Hannah and Tessa from that point of view. And now, Kyle, you've joined us as well from, I believe, is it Heather Drive in Los Angeles? I'm looking at a map now.
Yes, I'm right under the Hollywood sign in Hollywood, California.
Wow. Exactly. That's a good view.
That is.
Yeah, nice view.
From under the Hollywood sign to Lincoln, England, not Nebraska. We welcome on board another scenario.
And, well, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here with you guys.
And of course, the great thing is you have also experienced both sides of the fence. I found in my own experience, certainly this side of the pond, that the best agents tend to be those who've actually had experience of work in the business as opposed to just going in as agents.
Right. Well, first of all, let me correct you a little bit. I am a talent manager and I have my own talent management company.
True?
It's a little bit of difference.
You're quite right.
Sometimes the translation from your side to ours doesn't quite...
The English language is very peculiar at the best of times, Kyle. You know?
It is.
Just look at Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know? We don't understand what they're saying.
No.
We're on pins and needles on that topic over here.
But in terms of the talent management, because clearly that's an essential part of the whole show business scenario, share with us your journey. How did you get established within the whole thing?
Well, as you, I think you were starting to point out, I started out as an actor. Mm. I studied with a very famous acting teacher over here called Sanford Meisner. Lots of actors know that technique, very specific acting technique, and you know, I found that I was better as a businessman than I was as an actor at the end of the day. And I started working at different acting schools around Hollywood and started meeting different actors and started coaching different actors. And as that took shape, then they asked me to take certain aspects of their career on, which is how I met Patty Yesitake some time ago. We've been together for quite some time. She had been doing Star Trek, and her, along with some other actors I knew, were doing Star Trek. And in fact, I think you had Chase Masterson on last week too, who I actually coached for her audition for Deep Space Nine.
There we are.
So I started handling the personal appearances for some of these actors. There was all these different Star Trek conventions going on all over the world, and we started there. And because a lot of them, their agents and managers at the time weren't wanting to put the time into dealing with that part of their career. And I thought, well, this is a great way for me to sort of fill out the management world with just dipping my toe in the pool as an aspect of it. And so next thing I knew, I was working with the entire cast of Star Trek and traveling all over the world and having all these great experiences. And then as we worked harder, people started asking me to take on more. They knew I understood a lot about acting and a lot about business, and I ended up creating this wonderful company that is Kyle Fritz Management. Mm. So that's kind of how I got into it.
Tremendous. Let's open it up. Hannah, questions from yourself.
Sure. What is your favorite part of your job?
Well, I love discovering somebody new and watching them just take off and flourish. That's the fun part of my job, and to watch them grow as an actor and as a person. A lot of clients have been with me a very long time, and so I since they were young, and we've grown up together, and it's been a very fun journey to see when it's successful and working well. So I love discovering new talent, and I love being right.
Don't we all?
It's a positive affirmation of life. It's very, very critical, you know.
So when I pick somebody out of obscurity and they take off and I see them win awards, it's like, yeah, hey, I'm right. I enjoy that.
Exactly. Natasha.
Yeah, so you were talking about traveling all over the world. What's been your favorite sort of event that you've gone to? What's been your favorite kind of place?
Because let's face it, Carl, some of those Star Trek conventions can be very challenging if you're not used to the whole Trek feel. You know, it's one of those areas where
they're very, very challenging. And for me, though, they're very much work. I mean, for me, the actual conventions themselves require a lot of my focus because I am really... Our goal when we do those Star Trek conventions is to make every fan feel special, to give every fan as much face time and make them... just really give them as much of an inner working to the actor that we can, and at the same time we have to have there's lines that you don't want crossed or boundaries. And so for me as the manager going with the talent on those conventions, it's a lot of work just keeping my eye out for opportunities for my actors to make sure that they're getting the proper face time and we're not getting taken advantage of, and make sure that the fans are all getting a really positive experience. So for me, there were a lot of work. Now, getting to go to the cities afterwards, that's amazingly fun, and I enjoy travel. And recently, I was with Jerry Ryan and Jonathan DeLarco, and we went to Germany. And then afterwards, Jonathan and I took off to Amsterdam, and that was an incredible experience. I'd never been there, and I very, very much enjoyed that.
Jerry Ryan, of course, being the Seven of Nine. But many people think that her role in Dark Skies was even more wonderful, actually. But there we are. Jerry Ryan.
Yes, she's great in Dark Skies and Boston Legal and Body of Proof and well, Bosch now. If you guys are getting that over there, you can watch that on Amazon. She's in season two of Bosch playing a really delicious character. She's awesome.
There's Nothing Wrong with Bosch, basically. It was with the subject of one of our books of the month recently, hard-boiled detective fiction for the 21st century, which is tremendous. But Tessa, on the other hand, is a massive Nashville fan. Isn't that right, Tessa?
Okay.
So, you know, has Nashville crossed your scope? Because I'm sure we're only a matter of time before Nashville conventions will be cropping up all over the states if they haven't already.
I don't have anybody on Nashville, nor have I. I will tell you that I live one block over from Connie Britton when she's
really?
In town.
Really? Oh, wow.
And we pass each other walking our dogs and such.
Oh, my goodness.
And I actually hung out with Connie. We were at the Democratic National Convention together this year. I was there with another client, and so we got to hang out. She's a really nice, nice lady.
We mentioned, of course...
He says that so casually. I'm just hanging out with Connie Britton.
it's the wonderful Stardust world.
It's a bizarre life.
Yeah, it's, Jonathan DeMarco, of course, if memory serves, was a Borg, if I believe, in Star Wars.
He was Hugh the Borg, that's correct. And that's also been a very long relationship. And he was then on Nip/Tuck. Now he's on a show... I believe you guys get out there called Major Crimes. It was originally The Closer with Kira Sedgwick, but they spun off to Major Crimes, and he's been on that show now with the two shows almost 12 years. So,
of course, again, I've got to ask the question, 50 years of Star Trek, that's been the biggie this year from that point of view. Has there been an increase, an upsurge in terms of events? I mean, we're actually off to do a show from the bridge of the Starship Enterprise in Blackpool. I know it's very difficult to even consider that, but Ryan and myself will be we'll be heading off to the Vegas of England, as it's referred to, Blackpool, and doing a little gig there. But I mean, has there been sort of a greater demand, or has it been a case of, well, there's so much Star Trek, we just need to celebrate and rejoice in Roddenberry's creation?
Oh, no, there's been a greater demand. And we were at the... I did have some clients up at the big Vegas event and at the New York event. There was two huge events in New York and Las Vegas here this year. But there's been a tremendous... amount of events, and I don't think Star Trek, you know, the interest in Star Trek never seems to wane, does it? It's quite a special franchise, and it just seems to keep growing, and new people discover it, new generations discover it, and I think that it will live on forever, really.
Let's turn to Lois. Lois, thoughts and questions for yourself.
I was just wondering, you know, you said that you've met and coached different actors. Would there be any others that we might know of?
Well, in terms of coaching, well, yeah, I mean, do you guys watch, are you Breaking Bad fans?
Oh, Breaking Bad. Yeah. An outrageously wonderful series.
It's very popular over here.
Anna Gunn used to be a client. Anna Gunn, who plays the mother on that show, used to be a client, and I used to coach and work with her quite a bit. And, I had a very long run, a 13-year run with a terrific actor who's doing really well right now, Rami Malek from Mr. Robot. So
it's just one, it's one wonderful thing after another. I know. I know. Yeah. our ace director Phil Dearness will be very impressed with the Breaking Bad scenario. I think Breaking Bad is, you know, when he's not sort of eulogising about all sorts of other areas and working with Dean Hagman, of course, Phil Dearness, a key Breaking Bad fan. Probably Call Me Saul, not quite in the same league, but he still likes it, you know. He's currently been working on the top 10 westerns of all time in the latest edition of Chilpack Hollywood, so that's always good.
Do you find that the actors, depending on like what genre they come from like different TV shows, do you find that they have very different needs or they have very similar needs or... It's all just everyone's individual.
You know, actors are they're people, and we all have our different. We all have our different. You know, some actors are very independent and just kind of want me to just gently nudge and guide and give my opinion and bring projects forward. And then other actors want a lot of hand holding and a lot of
ego massage. Ego massage.
Focus. Well.
We all need it. Exactly.
They want me with them at most places, and it just depends on who they are and what their style is and what our relationship is. I find that when you have a really good relationship with a client, most of the time it will turn into a really nice friendship. So, you know, as I was saying, Joey Ryan and I are extremely good friends. We spend holidays together with our families, and we travel a lot together, and she's been working with me, but we've known each other pre-Star Trek. So it's been a long, fun journey with her, and I have several clients that I have that relationship with. And when you have a really good friendship relationship, business and friendship lead in together. And so sometimes I can get a call at 12 o'clock at night, you know, wanting, you know, a very personal matter. Or, you know, then there's...
They've asked me to do this in the series. I don't think it's in my character's line to actually suddenly become a baseball bat wearing killer. You know, it's not where, not there. And so we were talking to Arthur Weingarten, of course, wonderful TV writer and producer, Adam's Family, Green Hornet, whole history of Hollywood there. But he was saying he used to be represented by Dennis Selinger, who, of course, looked after Roger Moore and various other things. Dennis sadly passed away. But I think what Arthur was saying, and he's primarily a writer, producer, etc., is exactly what you've been describing, actually, Kyle. It's somebody who can actually be a friend, a shoulder to cry on, but also ensures that, you know, the whole experience, the interface, if you like, between the public, the agencies, the actors, etc., is actually smoothed along, really.
Absolutely, and that would be the job of the manager, is to bring the team together, and I think that's the log line of my job, which is, you know, hiring the right agent for the right client, hiring the right lawyer for the right client, hiring the right publicist for the right client, and then manage all those balls in the air at the same time and make sure everybody's pulling their weight, if you want to say it like that, and contributing in a positive manner to the career. And that's the job of the manager.
I feel in many ways as though we've had a Kyle Fritz management masterclass.
Yeah.
In terms of of
it's been good.
Exactly.
I've enjoyed it.
It's one. I shall put now to one side the William Morris, the ICA, the CIA, and say this is the way forward. I just had a sense of that when we made that initial contact, and Max, the fantastic coordinator, and then Kyle Fritz management.
He's kind of sold the job to me. I feel like I want to pursue that career now.
Kyle, you have actually convinced a second year journalism student that actually her role now lies in becoming the female Kyle Fritz.
Yes.
Well, I love that. I'll take it. But I do have the fantastic Max. You're right. I have the fantastic Max on my right side, and he really takes care of everything. He's fantastic.
It's generous. Kyle, it's been an absolute delight touching base with yourself. I'm going to ask you those last two questions. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on the production today? Has it been okay for you?
I have had a fun time. It's been so fun talking to you guys. Thank you so much.
I think a round of applause for Kyle Fritz, please.
Thanks, guys.
And the next critical question is, can we look forward to connecting up with you again, you know, maybe post-Thanksgiving or sort of before the end of the year and sort of finding out more magical things from the amazing world of KF, Kyle Fritz Management?
You may absolutely. I would love to come back on your show, and you know, it just depends on what happens with this election if I can survive it.
Look, we're sending positive vibes to you. You know, we're breathing on that whole system. Remember, it'll all work out okay in the end. You know, I mean, there've been more challenging times. You know, Star Trek, the whole message of optimism from the 60s. You know, we'll get through it. You know, hand holding across. You've got Hillary and Donald. We've got Boris and Jeremy.
Exactly.
You know. It's all very
strange. I know, but that hasn't worked out so well for you guys, has it?
let's put it this way. We are living, as Arthur Weingarten confirmed with the ancient Chinese line, in interesting times. So,
We are.
We'll get there.
For sure.
Personally, I think 2020, Karl Fritz for president. Okay? That's my tip, you know? Karl Fritz for president.
I'm not taking that job. You guys have a lovely, lovely weekend.
This is Chase Masterson, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM and SouthsideBroadcasting.podbean.com.
So when we made that connection to the awesome Phil Lynas, what does he actually start off the whole piece with by saying?
David Cassidy Central.
There you are, exactly. And you know, Tessa, let's face it, you know, we gave you a whole chunk of David Cassidy music whilst, in fact, together with Phil Lynas, you're the only person in the other room who's had the experience of me driving you to sort of locations from that perspective, to date, and so on.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, how much longer did it take for you to get there than it should have?
Yeah, you can tell he's not. I mean, but yet your mum would turn around and say that, you know, Leany Jane and David Cassidy covers are fine, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean that's true. If you're playing David Cassidy, well then you want the trip to take longer.
Exactly.
You weren't playing any tunes really, Alex. When we were trying to get to the cathedral,
which
is up at the top of the hill, by the way, and you can see the cathedral.
Yeah.
So theoretically, you would know when you're turning away from the cathedral. But somehow, Alex doesn't trust the purely visual.
Thankfully, Tessa did have her mobile phone to navigate us into London and back out again. So all
good
was
old
well.
Google Maps.
Exactly. Well, so there we have it.
Anyway,
enough of such banter. Have you managed to catch any of the production so far, Phil? Would you like to say hello to Lois Snart for her first official full show? Because she didn't have a chance to stay around last time. She was too poorly suited herself. Hannah Brown, of course, still... I mean, how do your parents make of the jingles and idents that Phil and... both Phils, actually, Phil Herdwood, Phil Lynas, and of course the fantastically, amazingly talented Lily Holliman, work through for you, because we've shed a lot of blood on that one, really.
Yes, well, I did tell my mum about them, and she did find it interesting, and she laughed about the whole Harwich. She said it's quite strange, you know, in the English language we like to silent a lot of letters, and in a name we'd silent the R, and
That's when he starts.
Well, I actually on our show on Chilpack Hollywood Hour, and as you mentioned, Alex, we're doing a top 10 all-time Western films. Well, a magazine. I talked about this before, but recently we did our top 10 all-time favorite horror films, and a magazine based in Australia wanted to turn that show into a magazine article. So they did, and they sent us a copy, and that was very nice. But suddenly, I'm on the show trying to promote it. And the magazine is published by a company called Game Traders, and the magazine is named Live. And then I suddenly realized, or is it Live? I suddenly don't know whether I should be saying Live or Live. Well, I got a very nice email from the gentleman today who's turning the show about Westerns into another magazine article in a future installment of Live, and he said it's Live as in the Rolling Stones Live at Altamont or something like that. But I realized, look, I'm only going to understand that if I know specifically the album you're talking about, because otherwise it could still be the Rolling Stones live at Altamont. Maybe they moved there.
But Phil, you know, Colin Clive didn't say, "It's a live! It's a live!" when he sort of animated Frankenstein's monster.
That's true, and you didn't look, there's the cathedral, straight ahead.
Look, the traffic that day in Lincoln was particularly horrendous, you know, so I had to take you around a different sort of part of the hill just to get there. Anyway, carry on.
So while we're on correcting Alex, which is how we just got on. By the way, it's not Better Call Me Saul. It's just Better Call Saul.
Okay, then.
The spinoff of Breaking Bad. The character Saul Goodman is based on a line in the fantastic Breaking Bad. His advertising slogan, this shady lawyer, his advertising slogan is Better Call Saul. And the spinoff series, which is a prequel to Breaking Bad, and every bit as fantastic, don't kid yourself, is about how this character, Jimmy McGill, becomes a lawyer named Saul Goodman. So it's a fantastic show. Though you glossed over him, Kyle Fritz, having worked with Rami Malek, who's the best actor on television right now, in maybe the best show on television right now, Mr. Robot. Every bit as good as the Patrick McGoohan series The Prisoner. That's how good that show is, Alex.
I take your point, but once you mentioned Jerry Ryan, clearly I was thinking about something completely different. But that's okay. That's fine.
Yeah, of course, that's true. So much to talk about in terms of really talented women, by the way, because I've got to find out about Chase Masterson being on the show. But I need to ask you, have you been watching? I'm so jealous of you having the opportunity to catch Series 3 of The Fall, starring Gillian Anderson right now. We don't get it for another month here, but it's underway there in the UK. Have you been watching it?
I haven't actually, Phil. And we're getting shakings of the heads that indicate from non-verbal communication, always good for radio, that neither
but we still can watch it. We can pick it up and watch it another day.
We can pick it up.
Just pick it up.
Watch it another day. I've already set the task of checking out Cat's Paw and Assignment Earth. Or was it Tomorrow Is Yesterday?
Tomorrow is yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Well done. That's Tomorrow Is Yesterday and Cat's Paw. Good call.
So, yeah, we've got a lot to catch up on.
Yeah, it's best to stay current with shows from 50 years ago. By the way, I've been exchanging so many messages with mutual friends that I have in common with Kyle Fritz over the last few minutes. Like, how do you know Kyle? But people who are involved in politics, some in show business, but so many mutual friends we have. But the thing that I loved the best about his appearance was that at the end of his appearance, here it is, Wednesday morning for us, Wednesday evening for you, he tells you to have a lovely weekend. Because here in Los Angeles, come midday Wednesday, it's time to pack it up for the weekend.
Exactly.
Aren't we always looking forward to the weekend?
We put in a good, solid 10, 12, 14 hours of work a week, whether we need to or not.
It's the L.A. theme, clearly, in every sense of the word. Good stuff there.
How was Chase Masterson on the show? Wasn't it? She was in studio with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh,
yes, indeed.
Isn't she just like kind of the best?
she's very lovely. Yeah, really friendly. Down to earth.
I mean, she's just such a lovely person. I'm sure she talked about so much of her activities. I mean, she's a fascinating person, involved in so many things.
I tell you what, let's give you and the listener a 34-second blast of a public service ident that Chase put together for us shortly after last week.
Hi, this is Chase Masterson, founder of the Pop Culture Hero Coalition, the first ever organization to make a stand against bullying, racism, misogyny, LGBT bullying, cyberbullying, and other forms of hate using pop culture stories that we love. We all love superheroes. Why not be one? Check out our website at www.popcultureherocoalition.org. Follow us on Facebook at Pop Culture Hero Coalition and on Twitter at Superhero IRL. Thanks so much.
There we are. Just enough time to also say Katie Grimerson is listening and she's asked us to say hi to you from Katie.
To me.
Mm, Specifically,
yeah, I can't see who you're looking at. So, you know, she could finally be congratulating Tessa on completing an entire show.
That would be Lois, actually.
It's okay, we're sisters. Right. People get confused anyway. It's fine.
So often, right. Yeah.
See, I can't tell who you're looking at. Where is the webcam? For a brief period of time, there was a webcam.
There was indeed,
now,
but then it was felt it was so passé, so we decided to actually use the theatre of the mind to produce this.
What happened to Katie Grimason?
She graduated.
Oh, good for her.
Finally, she sort of got that through. Hopefully it was worthwhile, Katie. That's the important thing, because I know she's very excited when I said there was a new filled in as constructed ident just for her. And there we are, 7 seconds of wonderment. Brilliant.
So did you have your co-presenters watch Chase Masterson's part of The Truth Is Out There in anticipation of her being there, so that they could ask her all about alchemy?
The short answer to that is in the negative, but I'm sure we will actually be passing the DVD to at least one of the team within the next probably 24 hours or so to actually sort of take away and hopefully return after having watched the DVD. It was actually sort of one of those wonderful universe-created moments, because Sam Stone and David J. Howe had emailed me the night before saying, would we like Chase Masterson to come onto the program? I said, I don't know whether we can fit her in, but then I thought, okay, right, let's go with it. You know, we've had over the last few weeks, clearly, our film directors. We've had Professor Carenza Lewis. You know, we're shifting it tomorrow morning. We're with the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, etc. So she came along, and it was, you know, always be open to the opportunities that the universe provides for you, even though Chase has got too many friends to befriend me on Facebook as well. It's okay. You know, we have 41 mutual friends, apparently, but that's by the by. Carry on. So that was how it sort of emerged, really, thanks to Sam Stone, the Stone Tapes, David J. Howe, and they're also working currently on Sci-Fi Weekender for next year as well. Thank you. Phil, the floor is again yours.
There is nothing in there that I mean, except to say I'm sorry about the friend requirement on Facebook.
let it go. It's the important thing. It's like Destination Star Trek, possibly the worst experience I've ever had in my life at any convention ever. But anyway, that was just there as a punter. Just don't go there as a reporter. It's probably a different line entirely. As Larry Namichek said, takes all sorts. That's the important thing. But for it, suffice
wow,
to say.
Wow, you really do need to have some people wish you a lovely weekend.
Meanwhile, Phil, how come, in terms of your top 10 Westerns, you missed out what surely has got to be the ultimate Western for heart-rending emotion and development and
content? First of all, don't call me Shirley. You know that. You know I don't like that. But please, continue.
Shenandoah with Jimmy Stewart. I know you had Liberty Valance. Who shot Liberty Valance? But you didn't have the 1960s classic Shenandoah in there as well. I just raised that key point.
Shenandoah.
Well, you know, don't start me on a Camo Tilbury moment.
One says if you can't, if you can't pronounce it, you can't have it on your list.
Is there any?
So, I, I would like to point out that there were many more movies I didn't have on my list. You're making it sound like that's the one I didn't have, but there were
Magnificent Seven, fantastic, you know, Unforgiven, great, you know, but you know, Shenandoah.
I tried to have, and I think I've mentioned this in the past when we've been doing some other top 10 shows. I try to focus exclusively on films by great filmmakers. Because I always feel that if you then like that film, if you really enjoy it, if something grabs you, then you might be inclined to explore their other work. And in that way, you're going to start to develop your film literacy that way. And Andrew V. McLaughlin, although he directed some hits, is not a major figure in film. So that's the first caveat I would take.
Okay.
And then, I mean, would you say also that there's much on that film's mind?
Yes.
I mean, yes, it's emotional.
Race relations, civil war, the battle of one man to actually keep his family together, the emotion. He's got Doug McClure, for goodness sakes.
Okay, but it's all overt. And the whole thing we were celebrating was how the American myth of the Western is so unique, because it thematically can deal with things that it's not telling you it's dealing with. And then in retrospect, I would say that that movie is very much a nail on the head.
Mm-hmm. Like The Searchers. Anyway, moving on from that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, because The Searchers, they're constantly mentioning the 1955 Brown versus Board of Education.
Perpetually.
Which is what it's about.
Exactly. Exactly. It's your first...
I can't believe... Really? So you're saying I shouldn't have had a Western... See, this is where I play my trump card. And I don't mean Donald Trump card. I need my winning hand. You can't... Although I'll play my Donald Trump card later. With my very small, small presidential nominee hands. But you're telling me that I shouldn't have The Searchers... as number one on my list when that is the one great Western to star... Future captain of the Enterprise,
Phil,
Jeffrey
Hunter. When you have spent your postgraduate life watching, it would seem, unending screenings of The Searchers as part of the master's program at the University of London Institute of Education, you sometimes feel that even though it had Christopher Pike in, Jeffrey Hunter, and John Wayne, and Natalie Wood, sometimes
John
you just have...
John Wayne. See, that's who I think of when I think of Westerns.
Yeah.
And Clint Eastwood.
Thank you for that contribution.
Yeah. Whereas apparently, when Alex thinks of Westerns, he thinks of Patrick Wayne, John Wayne's son.
Exactly.
Which is why he wants me to have Shenandoah on the list.
Oh, exactly. I see that. It all makes sense to me.
Precisely. So, as I was about to say, Lois, it's been your first ever full midweek drive.
It has.
As a result of that, you have the opportunity to select a number between 2 and 60. No, sorry, between 2 and 26. For a moment, I was just shooting ahead of myself there. Would you like to select that number, please?
22
is the number. 22 is also the number of seconds it takes to hear from the universe.
Do you know that once every blue moon, secretly happy kind of feeling, that beaming, floating, purring kind of feeling, that oh-so-rare, please-don't-let-me-be-dreaming kind of feeling, you can feel it right now. Purring the universe.
You see, even Fuzz Aldrin likes that one. Okay, Phil, I've got a few more moments. Where would you like to go now? Hannah? Natasha?
I'd like to go to the 1965 New York Times review of Shenandoah.
Oh, no.
It's a pretty good Civil War drama. They don't even call it a Western, by the way. That's another thing. Alex, I would say that it doesn't fit our definition we were operating under, which is that it had to be in the American frontier, and that's set entirely in Virginia. So I'm off the hook there. You can't tell me I didn't live according to the rules we set up at the beginning of the debate. The second thing is, New York Times says it approaches the level of being respectable and almost makes it. So there you go.
Damned with faint praise, I feel.
And why did I leave it off? I didn't hear Dean championing.
Dean's Shenandoah. From Canada. As you said yourself, a Canadian choosing Westerns, it's just somehow wrong. But never mind.
But he's now an Australian, and they make the only Westerns now. So that makes it all right.
Just tune into Sound and Country Vision for another sort of stage of that. You can actually have Phil in as a guest, really, selecting country music.
Yes, yes. I think you should.
Sure. Well, there we are. It's your show, Tessa. After all,
he has promoted
all sorts of things. Excellent. Natasha, any questions you want to put to Phil?
No, I'm just thinking, how did you come about choosing a Western? Did you literally just look at, like, the critical review? Did you look at, like, the public appraisal of it? Or your own personal opinion?
It's definitely my opinion, and it's a combination of what I would say both in terms of, you know, how much I can repeatedly get out of the film, and also its importance in terms of ranking them, because at some point, you know, when you've got a handful of perfect masterpieces, it's totally arbitrary how you're ranking them. But it's all from films that I've seen and things that resonated with me, and not only resonated with me at the time, but like I said, that I continue to get more out of upon repeat viewings. But I did try to do my homework in terms of relaying to the audience how it was received at the time when it came out, why it mattered then, or why maybe it was rejected then, and then how it has come to be appraised as the years have gone on. So I did try to put some historic perspective in, and Dean didn't. So that would be the difference in our approach.
Did it? How long did it actually take you from start to finish to get this ranking?
To get the, I was doing my homework for a good and I rewatched a whole lot of films to do this. So I would say it was a good couple weeks that I put in diligent effort on authoring my part of the show. And then as a bonus kind of treat, I went and I found a whole lot of clips, and I took the films and I copied over some moments from them, from the music, also from some dialogue.
It's well worth accessing for an audio treat. Go to chillpackhollywood.com. Alternatively, press a button.
Hi-dee-ho, neighbors. This is actress, producer, Los Angeles Breakfast Club board chair, and Fuzz Aldrin enthusiast, Lily Holloman. I have been a proud member of the expanded Alex Lefchick Midweek Drivette team for years. Congratulations to you, dear listener, on having found this oasis of podcast audio magic in the cosmos.
Just while it was time Lily had a voice in. Sorry.
It sounds like she's a nanny. That's what it sounds like. Like she's addressing her young wards, right? I mean, it's Mary Poppins.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're making a Mary Poppins, too. It's terrible. Have you heard, Alex?
I know.
It's shameful.
I know.
These things happen because of the great cash cow that is Disney. That's all I can say. Okay, that's it. After the news from the Sky News Centre, it's a case of Patrick Adams with Siren Cinema, focusing on the X-Men, I believe. 53 minutes or so. So that's going to be happening as far as Siren's concerned. Tessa,
yes.
I don't think you've asked those last two questions on the show, today, have you? I mean, it wouldn't be right for your sister because she wasn't.
Did
you want? Did you want? Sasha has. Hannah has. I'll go again.
Yeah.
Take it again, I think so.
Okay. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us?
Of course I've enjoyed it. Great fun to be back with you, and I'm sorry that I missed last week getting to talk to you and Chase. Oh.
Is your sister okay, Phil?
Yes.
Oh, you know, here's the thing about family and people get older. You know, you think maybe there will be light at the end of the tunnel, and then you realize, no, it's just a tunnel. There's just a tunnel.
Well.
And but you know, the and that is what it is, and you just accept it, and you move on. So thank you for asking, and I'm sure she's exactly how she's supposed to be, and we'll deal with it and whatever comes forward.
Okay. Which leads us to that other question.
It does. Will you be joining us again on the show soon?
Yes, I will be back one week hence.
Okay.
Between now and then, have a great weekend.
You too.
That's very important. Thanks to Camo, Anna Lewis, Mike Hall, Larry Nemechek, Arthur Weingarten, Kyle Fritz, and Phil Leaners, and you, dear listener. Thanks to Tessa Snart, Hannah Brown, Natasha Armstrong, and Lois Snart. That's it. A wrap has been accomplished. Lois, have you enjoyed your first production?
I really have. Thank you for having me.
Marvellous. This is all good stuff. As we said, you're listening to Siren. Back tomorrow morning, Tessa?
Yes. Yep.
Excellent.
8 o'clock.
And Tasha is chilling out on Thursday. She don't go Thursday morning.
Chill out.
So that. Hannah, you back tomorrow morning?
I will try to make it.
Try to make it. That's the important thing. It's the honey snugglers that take us out. Can we all say farewell, bye-bye, au revoir, or just farewell again? 1, 2, 3...
Bye.
Farewell. Bye-bye. Au revoir. Just goodbye again.
Listen. It's not bad.